Okay, as we said, we're going to start the chapter or Act 2, basically, of Revelation. If you break Revelation down, of course, there's two parts, and so that's what we did. We stopped at chapter 11, and we're going to pick it up with chapter 12. Now, what we're going to see now, starting with chapter 12, is we're going to see a fast-paced a progression of things that are going to start transpiring. We're going to see a lot of apocalyptic visions and things. Now, I want to remind you again, I don't know if we said this before, but I need to say it now. When you're studying the book of Revelation, don't get caught up in all of these visions and these figures. You know, we're going to talk about the lady today that's in travail with child, and we're going to talk about red dragons. Next chapter, we're going to talk about the beast from the comes up out of the ocean and the beast from the land. We'll talk about what these represent, but don't get caught up in all this because it doesn't change the message of the book of Revelation. You can know what the message of the book of Revelation is without giving a firm definition that this is what this stands for. Okay, but we can understand what that's all about. So don't get caught up in that. But what we're going to do is we're going to see now that most of the rest of the book of Revelation is going to be directed directly towards the doom of the Roman Empire. Okay, in the first part we made some kind of pointing towards that, but now it's going to be done in detail. Basically, what it amounts to is when we broke those seals and blew those trumpets, God was giving His warnings to Rome. You know, God doesn't do anything without giving people adequate time to repent. Okay, and basically now in chapter 12 He's saying your time is up. Okay, you've had your opportunity and you didn't repent. And so now the end is imminent. Okay? Is there anything that maybe you need to rehash or maybe think about that we didn't answer specifically about the first 11 chapters? Anything that you don't understand? Because if you understand it, explain it to me. Because if anybody says, I understand all of Revelation today, they've got a problem. Okay? You're not going to do all that. And in fact, you can read it twice and it'll change in your mind both times. Okay? Okay. So let's pick it up in chapter 12 now. And what we're going to see now, and we're going to see some more visions, okay? And in verse 1, it says that John saw a great sign appear in heaven, and a woman was clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Okay? Now let's stop right there and talk about that. Who in the world is this woman? I really don't think that you know, we have a problem with understanding what's about to happen, do we? What is the condition of this woman? She's pregnant, okay? And she's ready to give birth, okay? You have any doubt in your mind who this child is going to be? You're going to tell us in a minute it's going to be a male child. Okay. What has the nation of Israel been waiting for all these years? In fact, it's been prophesied all the way back in the garden. What have they been waiting for? They've been waiting for the Messiah. Okay, we're about to see that happen here. Okay, this is John talking about this transpiring. So, who in the world is this woman in? What? The birth of Christ. Birth of Christ, okay. Now, who in the world is this woman? Okay. Who gave birth to Christ? Well, no, physically, Mary did, yeah, but look at it in a broader sense. Who was Mary? Where did she come from? The tribe of Israel. Okay. Who was Israel? They were the chosen people of God. Okay. Not all of Israel was faithful to God, were they? Okay. But God, all through history, from the time that He chose Abraham, and we talk about this, even Bob talked about it from the pulpit a lot of times, there's always been a faithful remnant, okay, that God has worked through in order to accomplish what He wanted to do. Okay? And we'll talk about a little bit more about that in a minute. So what we're talking about really is we're talking about God's spiritual kingdom with Israel. Okay? The Israelites. And mainly those faithful few that, you know, continue to do His will, and He worked through them, especially through the seed line of Abraham. Okay? And then through David, of course. That lineage right there, he kept them as pure as He possibly could. I shouldn't say that. As possible He could. God could do anything, can He? But he allowing for man's fallacies, okay, He brought Christ into the world. Okay, now we're going to see a little bit later on that after Christ was taken back into heaven, that there's going to be some conflict with the rest of this kingdom. Okay, that can't be Israel, can it? Because God's purpose with Israel, the physical Israel, ceased on the cross, right? So who would we be talking about now? It's got to be His church. So what we're talking about, basically, is we're talking about the people of God. Okay? Christ used physical Israel, His people, in order to bring Christ into the world, but we, as His kingdom today, we created the need for Christ. Why? Because we sin. Okay? So in that sense, we caused the birth to come too. So when we talk a little bit later, when we get the next few verses here, we're going to see that this old red dragon we're going to talk about, he's going to persecute the woman. Okay? So that woman represents physical Israel and spiritual Israel. In other words, his kingdom, physical Israel, and his kingdom, the church. Okay? Now, we have a problem sometimes when we study Old Testament history and New Testament history, too, is we like to draw circles. And we draw, have you ever seen these diagrams? Patriarchal. I'm going to put them in that circle. Then we jump over here and we say, what next? Mosaical. Okay, then we jump over here and we say Christian. And we talk about these different dispensations. And sometimes we get the idea that, you know, these are kind of scattered out a little bit. But we're talking about, if we look at it this way, we're talking about a continual line of history. In other words, the patriarchal just goes right into the mosaical, not in a different circle. Okay, it just gives way to the mosaical. And the mosaical just gives way to the Christian. Okay, so it's a continual line. So in other words, God is working through His plan through mankind all the way through history. All right, back in Genesis chapter 3 and 15, what did He say about Christ and Satan? Remember the first messianic promise there? He told Satan what? After the man's fall. He said what? Yeah, He said, you messed up, Satan. And He talked about this seed coming, and He says, the seed of the woman, and he's going to bruise your head. What does that mean? Yeah, you're going to get smacked in your head, and it's going to be your death blow. But you will bruise his heel. What is that? You get a bruise on your heel, it doesn't kill you, does it? Okay. It kind of causes some problems, but it doesn't kill you. Okay, so there we have that prophecy. That from the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, that there was going to be a remedy for that sin. And when we look at the history from the Garden of Eden all the way through the present time, it's been a continual line of history. Okay, so the patriarchal just gave way to the mosaical because the needs of man changed. God was getting ready to do something different. So He selected Moses and sent those people down into Egypt. When they came out, you know, He's got His people that He's going to bring Christ in, and that gave way then to the Christian age. So we're looking at a continual line of history here. Okay, so let's go on here now. So we got the woman here, and this woman represents God's people. Okay, this is God's people. So you can look at them as Old Testament and New Testament. It's a continual line of history there. Okay. Let me get to the other one. I flipped over to where my marker was. That's over in Corinthians. No wonder I couldn't find it. Okay, so we got the woman here now, and then we get down to verse 3, and it said, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with seven heads. Oh, wait, let me stop. I should have mentioned something here. He talked about this light of this woman. She had the sun and the moon and the stars on her head. How does that help us to realize what we're talking about? What's he talking about here? Sun, moon, and stars? He's talking about light. Talking about light. What are the only three sources of light that we have? Sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay? So when talking about light, this helps us a little better to understand who this lady is. I should have mentioned that, because it helps us understand that a little better. So sorry for the interruption there, but I needed to mention it. Okay, so we got another sign now, and we got this great red dragon. Okay? Got seven heads, 10 horns, and on his head are 7 diadems. And his tail sweeps down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and casts them to the earth. All right? Now look. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. Okay, let's stop there. Do you have any problem understanding who this red dragon is? Okay, how can we know that for sure? Drop down to verse 9. You know, sometimes we have to figure this out, and sometimes it just tells us who it is. Is it verse 9 or verse 7? I forget. Verse 9, what does it say? There you go. So we have no problem understanding who we're talking about here, do we? All right, we got this. Got this old devil. All right. All right. And what does he do? Yeah, he's waiting to devour this child. When we see this vision of him, though, what does he look like? By the way, what color is he? Red. Why red? Huh? Yeah. Bloodshed, warfare, all these things. You know, when we see the pictures of the little old devil over here on your shoulder with the pitchfork and the pointed tail and everything, what color is he? He's red, you know. At least we got something out of this. We know he's red. Danger, all those things. Yeah, all of those types of things. Evil, corruption, all those things are implied in all of this. There's just nothing good about the devil. He's just evil through and through, okay? All right. So he's got 10 horns. Okay, now what does 10 represent? Talking about 10? Well, 10 and 7 kind of both exemplify completeness. In other words, he's all-powerful. He's got a lot of power. Okay, but there's a difference in this type of power. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Okay, 10 horns, and on his head are 7 diadems. That word diadem there is going to be a key for us in understanding this. Okay, all right, why 7? Okay, why 7 heads? We talk about Rome. What do we know about Rome? Seven hills. Rome was built on 7 hills, okay? So there's a little something for us to understand here, okay? This is kind of pointing us towards Rome again, okay? And then he had on those 7 heads, 7, or on those 7 hills, 7 diadems, okay? Now, what is the word in the Greek language for a crown which you win, which you are awarded for a victory? We talk about it all the time, you just don't remember. You will when I tell you. The Stephanos or Stephanos, however you pronounce that, that's a victor's crown. That's a crown that's awarded to someone like an Olympic game that wins. Rather than the gold medal, they got this crown. And we talk about Christ. And when Christ is shown with his crown, it's this Stephanos. Okay? So that's a good crown. This one is a diadem. What is a diadem? What's the difference? Anybody could wear the diadem. You could have a king that had been defeated and was serving as a puppet, and he could wear his crown, that diadem. Okay? See the difference? One was an earned crown. The other one was just something you assume, something that you take on. Okay. So what we have here, we've got a devil, this old dragon. He's wearing the diadem. And so he's got supposed authority. Okay. He's taking it upon himself. He's claiming to be something that he's really not. Now, that does not take away from his power. He's got some power, but it's power because of who he is. It's not something that was given to it. Okay? In fact, we're going to learn a little bit later that it's all going to be taken away from him. He's allowed to keep it right now. Okay, you with me so far? Okay, so we've got the woman, and we've got this great dragon. Okay. Since we're about to give birth, let's see. Verse 5. I have to keep looking back. Y'all remind me here. Okay, so she gave birth to a male child. Okay, that's important for us to remember there. One who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Wow, one verse, he's born and gone. No history about his life. Okay. Why wouldn't John tell us a little more information here? Go back and read my gospel. He said, I wrote a whole gospel about it. Go back and read that. That's not what's important here. You know. The important is, he was born, And God took him back up to heaven, and now he's sitting up there on that throne. Okay, we know what else happened in between there. He could mention it, but that's not important to what's going on here. The idea was that the devil didn't get him. Okay, he didn't get him. Okay? So he's back up there there in heaven. And she gave birth to a male child. Okay, so that helps us to understand a little bit more. Now, we could talk, we could have lessons upon lessons of this, the woman, okay, how God used the woman as far as biblical history is concerned, and the male, okay, how the purpose of the male. They both served a function, okay? Why was Eve named Eve? The mother of all, okay? What was Eve going to do, okay, to sustain offspring? She's going to have children, okay? So it was through her seed that all things came. So therefore, through that lineage, you want to go back and trace it as far back as you want to, basically, Christ came from the lineage of Eve, okay? And so we get down here to Mary, okay? Mary, the woman, through her seed, Christ comes into the world, okay? And that's an important thing for us to talk about when we talk about biblical history, is the woman and the man and the seed, okay? What those all represent. It was all God's plan from the very beginning, okay? So she gave birth to this child, and it says there that this one was going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Okay, there's a key for us to understand who this is. Back over in Psalms chapter 2, I think verse 9 and also verse 19, it gives us an indication of who this is. Somebody have it there? Psalms chapter 2, verse 9, and I think it's also verse 19. This is a prophecy concerning the Messiah. Yes. Okay, does he give any indication before that as to who he's talking about? This is a prophecy about the Messiah. Okay, that's the one. Okay, is it verse 19 that says this again? I may have that mixed up. Okay, well, it wasn't verse 19 then. Okay, so anyway, that gives us an indication that we can understand who this is. We're talking about Christ. We're talking about the Messiah. Okay? So we've got the woman, which is God's people, His spiritual and physical Israel. Okay? We've got the red dragon, who is the old devil. Okay? And we've got Christ being born into the world. But God took care of all this. Okay? When He was born, He accomplished what He did on earth, and God took Him back to heaven. Okay, now, it's interesting. It might be good to just go ahead and do this. I wrote down a lot of things here about how the devil tried to thwart, is that a word? I think that is thwart, God's plan from the very beginning. Okay, he was there on earth all this time trying to keep God from accomplishing what He set out to do. Okay? We can go back and pick out a lot of different examples, but let's just start with Noah. What was the condition of the world in Noah's time? Continually evil. Sounded like the devil was having a... Sounded like he was winning the war, wasn't he? Okay? So what did God do? We'll send that flood, and we're going to take Noah and his descendants, and we're going to start over again. Remember we're talking about remnants? God always works through remnants. He's going to accomplish what He set out to do. Let's move on down a little bit, and we come to Abraham's seed when God made the promise to Abraham. You're going to have a son. And through all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through this son. How old were they when Isaac was finally born? 99 and 100. Okay. What was their attitude at this time? Yeah, we can't have children, you know, we're beyond that. So they took it upon themselves, you know, to do some things that they shouldn't have done, okay? But God said, no. Ishmael is not, he's not the seed line, okay? And so he made barren Sarah to have a child. Okay, now what about Isaac and Rebekah? What was Rebekah's condition? Same thing, okay? So he had to do the same thing with them, to make them to bear children. And when Jacob and Esau were born, what was their relationship? Yeah, they were twins, but what kind of a... They were brothers. Yeah, they were... I'm surprised Esau didn't kill, you know, Jacob along the way somewhere. Okay? You see the devil working in all this somewhere? Okay. So he's trying to prevent this, and he's doing everything he can, but God's intervening and making sure that things get done the way that they should. Okay. In the time of Moses, go over to Exodus chapter 32, starting about in verse 9 and 10. Exodus chapter 22, verses 9 and 10. This is God, and he's talking to Moses, okay? He is fed up with the Israelites. He's had all he can take. Okay, somebody read what he says there in verses 9 and 10. You got it there, Don? It's 32. Yeah. 32, verses 9 and 10. 32. Did I say 22? I did. Back and forth. Y'all watch me. Yeah. 9 and 10. Okay, I've had enough. I'm going to wipe them out. And he said, I'm going to use you as my seed line. But Moses prevailed and talked to God, you know, and said, let's give this another shot, you know. In other words, Moses was kind of like the Messiah to the Israelite people, okay. So here again, you know, the devil almost prevailed, okay, but not quite. Okay, so I'm just throwing out some examples here, and I know you can think of a lot more. What about the relationship between King Saul and David? Remember, David's the seed line now. What's happening with him? What? Yeah, he tried twice. That was, he just missed him by about that much that one time when he threw that javelin at him. Okay, so he was trying to kill him all this time. Wonder what's going on here. Well, that's the old devil. He's working on him because he gave Saul that heart. I should say he gave it to him. Saul allowed him to do it to him because the devil can't do anything to you except, you know, you allow him to. And there's a story about a fellow by the name of Joash. And I may get these names wrong here. I think was it Adaliah? She was a sister or a wife of one of the kings, and she wanted to be the queen, so she had all of the royal lineage, all those sons killed, okay? But one of them escaped, a guy by the name of Joash. He was a little baby, okay? And I don't remember all the names, but the lady who was the nurse, she took him to the temple and hid him for 6 years, okay? And this old evil queen, she ruled for 6 years, you know, usurped everybody's authority until they brought Joash out and the people made him king and they killed her. Okay? So here again, one of the lineage, that's all that was left, one. Okay? But God saved him and the lineage goes on. What about this business with Esther and King Ahasuerus and Haman? Remember that story? Haman was jealous of the Jews, wasn't he? And he went to Ahasuerus. Is that his name? The king, I believe that was his name, Ahasuerus. And he said, let's just wipe these Jews out. Okay? So in one day, they gave the order. In one day, a certain time of a certain day, you're going to go out and kill every Jew, man, woman, and child, every one of them. We're going to get rid of them. And then we're going to take all their goods and we'll just incorporate them. What happened? Esther stepped in and prevailed. Okay? And prevented that. Okay, you see God and Satan working at this? New Testament. What happened in the New Testament? Well, when Jesus was born, okay, remember those three guys that came through Jerusalem and they talked to Herod? Yeah. Where's the king? A king? You know, Herod gave orders to do what? Go down to Bethlehem, kill every child 2.5 years old and younger. Kill them all. He didn't want to lose his throne, okay? There's an effort again, you know, to put him away. On the mount, when Jesus was baptized and he went out into the desert, okay, remember that story? Remember what happened out there? The devil came to him and tempted him. Okay, why was he tempting him? Because if Jesus had given in, he couldn't be the Messiah. He couldn't be the Christ. Okay? And so that would have gone away with our sacrifice. What about on the cross? I want you to think about this. When Jesus died on that cross, what do you think was going through the devil's mind? Party in heaven, boys. We did it. We did it. 3 days later, what happened? Jesus rose from the grave and, uh-oh. I imagine that's what he was saying, uh-oh. What I'm saying is that the devil all through history, since the beginning of time, has tried to prevent God from doing what God did. And when Christ was born, then he tried to thwart Christ's ability to be the Messiah. Okay. And that's what we're reading about over here in the book of Revelation. This is what John is talking about when he talked about these few passages over there. The devil is doing all that he can, okay, but he's not succeeding. Okay. Yes. There was evil from the time that the devil decided, you know, he didn't want to serve God. He wanted people to serve him. So all we know is that happened. We don't have any information about what happened. And some of this, commentators say that we're going to read about a battle that took place in heaven between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. That could have happened way back when. So we don't have that information. So that could have been way back. I don't know. But what we're going to see here, and we'll read it here in just a minute, is that when God took him to heaven, it says that if this doesn't build confidence in us in God, I don't know what will. Because God was in control of all of this. Okay, He had basically won the battle already, but it's playing out. It's what's happening here. And so we're seeing all this in history. So she gave birth to the male child, The son was born and taken up to heaven, and it says the woman fled into the wilderness. I don't know what it is about Sunday morning, but I always have a problem with my throat on Sunday morning. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something. Verse 6. And the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Okay. One of the things we see here is that God had prepared this place ahead of time. Okay. Now let's think about this idea of the wilderness. Where else do we see wilderness in the Scriptures? Someone going to the wilderness. Well, Jesus, yes, but let's go back even further than that. Israelites were in the wilderness. Why were they in the wilderness? Yeah, root out a little bad blood there. Yeah, you remember they came to the Jordan River and looked over at the Promised Land? They sent out the spies, remember that? All of them but two came back with bad reports. And so God says, well, you won't believe me. You're going to be roaming around down there in the wilderness for a while, you know, until all this generation dies. Okay. But while they were in the wilderness, what do we see happen down there? What do we learn about their clothes and their sandals? They never wore out. Sorry, ladies, you get a new style, too bad. Go to the closet and get the old ones. They're not going to wear out, okay? You know, he took care of them. He continued to feed them the manna. Speaking of the manna, how long did they eat manna? It was actually a little more than that, wasn't it? Because they started eating the manna back when they started complaining back, you know, before they came to the Jordan River. When did they stop eating the manna? Okay. The Scripture says as soon as they crossed over the Jordan River, It says, and the manna stopped that day. Okay. So God was taking care of them all that time. He was feeding them all that time until they entered into the promised land. Then they could take care of themselves. Okay. So what I'm saying is in the desert, they were taken care of. They were taken care of physically. They were taken care of physically. Okay. The tabernacle was still with them, so they're with the tabernacle. So they've got all their needs. They're going into the wilderness because they rebelled against God by not going in and taking over the land, but he's still taking care of them. Why? Yeah, because he's going to use the remnant, okay, to go over and accomplish what he said. So he says here that he sent the lady into a prepared place, which was a wilderness. What do you think is going to happen there? He's going to take care of her. It's a prepared place, just like the people over in the time of the Israelites. This is going to be the case also. Now, what we're seeing here, we're seeing a time between the time that Jesus went back to heaven, okay, we call that the first advent, when he was here on earth the first time, that's his first advent, until he comes again, the second advent. That's what we're looking at. Okay, that's what we're looking at. This is the time that we like to refer to as when the tribulation, the time of tribulation. We hear the millennialists, the premillennialists talk about this a lot, the tribulation, time of tribulation. We're living in that time right now, okay, between the first advent and the second advent, okay? It talks here of a period of 1,260 days. We've heard that referred to as 42 months. We've heard that referred to as 3.5 years. They're all the same. We saw that back in chapter 11 when we talked about the two witnesses when they were witnessing. We're talking about that same period when that happened. Okay, they were witnessing. And John is told there on that occasion that you're going to have to go back and testify some more. Okay, because the persecution is going to get greater from the Roman government, okay, and from his allies. And that's the period in which we're living right now. That Roman persecution has ceased. But this is still the time of tribulation that we're living in right now, between the first and second advent. So when you hear that talked about, you'll know what's going on. So the woman has gone to the wilderness. So now Christ is back in heaven, okay? No longer a need for the physical Israel, right? What we have now is we have the kingdom of God, the church, okay? Now, I'm not saying that he did not have any need for the Israelites. He had need of those Israelites that were a part of his kingdom, the church, which encompasses all people who follow. Okay? Spiritual Israel. So we've got the physical Israel and the spiritual Israel. Okay? So that just it's a natural flow. The physical just goes right into his kingdom. So we go from talking about the seed line bringing Christ into the world to those who are the recipients of that blessing. Okay? So that's where we are now. We're talking about the church. So she's in the wilderness, okay, which is a place prepared by God, and she was nourished for 1,260 days. Now, don't take these as literal time periods. These are what's the word I'm looking for? Figurative. They're figurative, okay? Don't take anything literally in all of these, okay? All right, we're together so far. We've got Christ in the world. We're in this time period right now. God is nourishing the church. Okay, verse 7. Now war rose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, and he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for him in heaven. Okay, the dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay? So now, reading what John has written here, I get the impression that he tried to prevent Christ from being born. He tried to keep him from accomplishing, what God wanted him to do by having him destroyed. And when he failed at that, he was so mad, looked like he went up to heaven and fought a battle with him there. I don't know if it was this time when he fought this battle. I don't know if there was actually a battle fought. When you think about it, I can't figure God involved in a battle with the devil. It could be. It could be figurative of that. And like I said a while ago, it could have happened, you know, way back before the creation. I don't know. I don't know when that battle was fought. I don't know what kind of battle it was. I just know that the devil tried to prevail and he failed. Okay? But whatever the case may be, he failed with Christ on earth. He failed with, you know, in heaven, whenever that was, to win there. And he's cast out back down to the earth with his angels. Okay? And his angels. There's one thing that they know. What do the last verses say? The church is being nourished for how long? 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, whatever the case may be. The devil knows that his time is limited. He knows that when this time is up, it's over. Well, it is. It is. Well, I think he does know it. I think he does know it. And he's doing everything he can in this time period, you know, which we call the tribulation. That's why things are so rotten in the world today. Because the devil is deceiving people. The devil is convincing people that, you know, there is no God. We talk about the idea of deception. You know, how did the devil over in the garden get Eve to eat of that fruit? How did he do it? Deception. Deception. Oh, you're not going to die. You know, God just knows that if you eat it, you're going to be as smart as he is. Okay. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you, when you start thinking that way, you better think long and hard. Okay? You better think long and hard. You know. Oh, nobody's going to know. I can do this and get away with it. Nobody's going to be the wiser. You better be careful. Okay? It's going to happen. You had to. You had to.
And he gave them power, a certain amount of power. Mm-hmm. And he ended up fighting against them. But he created them. He set that in motion. It's just like Adam and Eve in the garden, when they were thrown out, they took it. They were anchored with the flame of the sword, so they couldn't go back in to be alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, why did he do that? Because he'd already made his decision that this is how it's going to be.
Yep. Yeah.
That's weird. I mean, it's kind of strange, but when he sets things in motion, he makes a decision.
It's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
It's going to happen. That's right.
He's going to stand by it. And if he has to modify it later, he'll modify it.
Yeah. And in all of this, we're all part of this, and he doesn't force us, you know, into doing anything. Okay. It's our choice what we do. Okay. But he gives us the direction, gives us the guideline. By the way, back over in the wilderness, when it said that God nourished the woman in the wilderness, how did he nourish her? We talked about the manna, you know, in the desert and so forth. How does God nourish? He's talking about us today. How does he nourish us today? Right there. That's our nourishment right there. You know, he takes care of it. And the devil cannot do anything. Let me emphasize it. I've said it before, I know, but he cannot do anything to you that you do not allow him to do. And if he can deceive you and get you to think something is, you know, okay, or, you know, something's not going to happen, or maybe this is not true, you know, he's got you. But it's up to you as to whether you'll fall for that or not. You know, and as we said before, Barry, get your nose in the book, right? That's why it's important for us to be good students of what's in here. Okay? And we don't have to be able to quote this book, you know, verbatim, you know. We just need to know what's in here. And we can know the difference between right and wrong. We can know the difference between what God allows and disallows by reading these words. Because it's truth. Okay? Okay. Where were we? Verse 10? Okay. I heard a loud voice in heaven. Okay, this is good. Think about this now. Heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now. Okay, now. Salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you will dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Okay. There's some good stuff in here. You know, the time has come. What has come? What happened? What transpired? All through history, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, what power did the devil have? What was his power over mankind? Okay, but he had something over them. When he deceived them and they gave in to his deception, death. We're talking about what kind of death? Spiritual death. Sin separates us from God. For all that time, we're talking about up to the cross, okay, Satan had that over them. Now, those people could receive forgiveness of their sins back in those days by offering animal sacrifices, okay, that made atonement for them, but that forgiveness was not realized until when? Okay, it was reciprocated upon Christ dying on the cross. Had he not died on the cross, those sins would have never been forgiven. So they did what they were supposed to do by offering his animal sacrifices, looking forward to the cross. Okay? So now these people are saying, the time has come. It's happened. What happened? What happened on the cross? God shed his blood. He shed his blood. Okay? And now, all those past sins, what happened to them? All of our sins today, what happens to them? They're gone. Dependent upon what? Dependent upon that blood. Dependent upon that blood. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yes. This is Paul's writing, okay? Starting about verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Everybody with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 50. Okay? Chapter 15, verse 50. All right, now I'm reading in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this imperishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. How? Through Christ Jesus. Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay? You see what we're seeing there? How important is the blood of Christ? It's the only thing that can take away our sins. Okay? Now, I feel sorry for some of our denominational brothers that don't realize how to avail themselves of that blood. Scripture's pretty plain on it. You know, the only way we can get around it is just to ignore it or make excuses for it. But how do we avail ourselves of the blood of Christ? All right, you got to be buried in. For as many as were buried into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, there's no other way to get in there. Okay, that's it. And I don't know how we can get them to understand this, you know, but that's the only way we can do it. He shed the blood, the plan is there, but it's not available for just anybody. Okay? You have to obey what he says. Okay. That kind of goes back to the idea of circumcision and uncircumcision. All those who were circumcised, who were they? Who were the circumcised people in the Old Testament? They were the Jews. They were the Israelites, okay? And they were commanded by God to be circumcised on the eighth day, okay? So that was a sign of the fact that they were Israelites, okay? All right, now today, we're commanded to do what? Be baptized. And we're told just like circumcision worked back there, baptism works today. And he says today, circumcision or non-circumcision doesn't mean anything today, because that was a certain thing for a certain period of time. Okay, that was a sign for the Israelites. But baptism is for everybody. And the only way we can get into Christ is through baptism. Okay, and so that's what he's talking about here when we talk about that. And so we've got this great doxology from heaven. They're saying, hallelujah, the time has come. You know, all that past where devil held the threat of death over our heads, you know, and he stood before God and said, they belong to me. They're all sinners. You know, you kicked them out of the garden. They're mine. You know, what does God say? When the devil stands before God and says that, what do you think he's going to tell them? You know, there's a little book that they say, you know, over in Revelation tells us it's going to be there on the judgment day. Yeah, well, there's several books, but one of them is called the Book of Life. What is the Book of Life? What is it? How do you get your name entered into the Book of Life? That's those who are members of His kingdom. Those are baptized believers. Okay, and if you haven't done that, to have your name written there, you know, you're outside looking in. Okay, and so that's what that's all about. Now, I'll just say this in passing. We're about out of time. It does say that you can have your name blotted out of the Book of Life. Okay, so just getting it in there is one thing, but keeping it there is something else. Okay? Because there's going to be three books that I know of that are going to be there. One is going to be the Book of Life. One of them is going to be the Deeds of Men. And the other one is going to be this book right here. And you're going to be judged according to the things that are in this book. Okay? So, I've said this before, and I'll just say this in part again. We'll quit. On the Judgment Day, we get this vision in our mind of millions and millions of people standing before the throne of God waiting to be judged? I don't think so. Because if your name's not in the Book of Life, there's no reason for you to be judged, is there? You're already judged because your name's not in there. So who is the judgment reserved for? Those whose names are in the Book of Life. Well, what's going to determine that? Your deeds? Yeah, what's in this book? Those are the things that you're going to be judged by. In other words, we read where Jesus says, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, don't do the things I do? Okay, so if your name's in there, you know, and you're doing the deeds, hey, it's great. Enter in, good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. Okay, so don't worry about that. You know, on that judgment day, when God says, come up here, you know, God, come up here, he's going to open up that Book of Life, and he's going to look on there and he's, okay, there's your name. Let's go over to the Book of Deeds. And he's going to look over there and what do you think he's going to see? All those sins you've committed all your life? No, what happened to them? They're gone. Blood washed them away, isn't it? So all he's going to see is all your good things. You know, unless there's something that you didn't ask forgiveness for, you know, then I'm not God. I can't tell you what's going to happen there. Okay. All right. We're out of time. We're going to have to quit. Okay. Are you with me, what we're talking about? Okay, we'll pick it up here next time and finish up this business with the devil, and then we're going to get over in there and talk about a couple of more beasts a little bit later on. Questions or comments? Okay, appreciate your time.